Please stand as you're able and join us in the singing of the hymn of celebration, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's number 196 in your hymnal. Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
First Advent count.
Keep away, be watchful. The Son of Man is coming with great power and glory. He shall judge the nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We light the first Advent candles, reminding us that God's promised Messiah will break into our time and space to teach us his ways, that we may walk his paths of righteousness and peace. May we stay alert for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. We light this candle of hope as a symbol of Christ. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation. O come, Emmanuel.
Please prepare your hearts for prayer. Dear Lord, today is the day you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, on this Sunday after Thanksgiving and on the first day of Advent, our hearts are full of gratefulness for the time we may have spent with family, for all the blessings you give us each day, and for the beginning of Advent, the beginning of the Christmas season. But also full are our calendars and to-do lists. We're moving oh so quickly from one holiday season to the next and may not stop to listen, to be quiet, to be still, to be just in the moment with you. We look forward to the Christmas and the birth of your son, but we don't always, like children asking how many days and are we there yet, want to wait at all, much less patiently. Yet you call us to do that. The word wait appears 129 times in the Bible. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Romans 8:25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." In the busyness, Lord, we can lose sight of you and your son Jesus. Please forgive us. Please be with us in our waiting. We are thankful, Lord, for this time with you today. We also give you thanks for the prayer you gave your disciples so long ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand as you're able and join in the singing of our hymn of preparation, "Lift Up Your Head, Ye Mighty Gates." It's number 213 in your hymnal.
Oh,
Let us worship God with his tithes and our offerings. Please be seated. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for everything we have comes from you. Let these offerings and tithes be used to further your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please remain standing for the reading of today's scripture. Today it's Luke 19, 28 through 40, and then Luke 21, 34 through 36. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud noise for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
As the children come down for their children's moment, please take this moment to greet those around you. And if you haven't signed in on that red pew pad, now's the time.
He's got a pet. All right. How are y'all doing today? Didn't I just see y'all up here by the Advent room? That's right. Today we're celebrating the first Sunday in Advent. You see the trees on each side with the chrismons and the lights? Were they here last week, do you think? No, they weren't. The sanctuary has been put in order because we are anticipating a birth. His name's Jesus. So we prepare, and Advent is that season in which we prepare. Who remembers their last birthday? Raise your hand if you remember having a birthday. Okay. All right, you're going to help me all you can. Okay. Preparations occur when someone's anticipated in this world. Just like you're loved and in this world, that so Jesus came to be loved in this world. And we celebrate by decorating the church. As you can see all around us how beautiful it is. So many people did this. And we do that so that we'll remember that someone very special is coming. Let us say a short prayer. Father, for these your children and for all your children in the whole world, we are grateful and unworthy. Help us to be examples for them in Christ's name. Amen. Y'all go with Miss Grace to Children's Church, okay? Thank you. choir, for the beautiful words and music. This is the first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday of a new Christian year. And as such, we stand on a precipice looking downhill toward Bethlehem. We can see it in the distance. We're 26 days from now, Jesus will be born into this world. It's an amazing process every year when we go through it. The church year turns and begins again. The last Sunday of the Christian year was last week. It was Christ the King Sunday. So the last Sunday is the one we aim toward through the whole year. The one who's born in Bethlehem is Christ the King. He's the Lord of Lords. This is one of the last pauses before the great engine fires up and we start going toward Bethlehem. There's so many things we do during Advent, so many joyous things, the gatherings, the fellowships, the worship services, the choir specials, the children's programs. And we need to take this moment to realize that the first Sunday of Advent is the one that points the farthest. It points to the coming of Christ, His coming again. It points to a time when His world will be according to His will. And His life will be manifest in a wonderful way throughout this world. We're getting caught up, gathered up in the greatest act since the creation of the world, and that is the sending of God in His presence through Jesus Christ to be among us. Advent means that God keeps His promise. He said He would come. He said nothing would ever be the same when He came. And His advent in Bethlehem was one that people who searched for Him were not searching to worship Him, but to destroy Him. His coming to the world, He said He came into the world and the world did not know Him. So He comes quietly through Bethlehem. His advent there, our scripture lesson speaks of the next two advents. And this morning I want to speak to you of the three advents, the first being in Bethlehem. The second advent was in Jerusalem. 33 years later, it created quite a stir. As was read by Mary Lou to you this morning, the people running in front of Him said, "Blessed is He who comes in the King's name, in the name of God. All's well in heaven, glory in the highest." The Pharisees said, "Teacher, get your disciples under control. You're going to create a riot. It'll bring out the Romans." Jesus responded, "If they kept quiet, the stones would cry out for them, shouting praise to God." It is an inexorable movement toward the kingdom of God that this world is involved in. It moves with fits and jerks and sometimes backs up and sometimes falls on its face. But it is inexorable that the King is coming. His final advent will defy imagination. And Mary Lou's second scripture from Luke 21 dealt with that. It says, "Watch out. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled. Otherwise, the day will take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap. For He's going to come to everyone, everywhere, all at once." Do you see the progression? He comes to Bethlehem, and the angels appear to the shepherds, and the angels appear. The star appears to the wise men, and a few people gather. And there in that manger, Jesus is welcomed into the world. His second advent is when He makes public who He is, coming into Jerusalem through the eastern gate, coming down the Mount of Olives. And the people gather, and they rally for Him. And this making public of His life, within 8 days, He has been buried and raised from the dead. But His third advent, His final coming, is no more slipping in through Bethlehem or riding on a colt, but finally full-blown advent. He says, "So don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you have the strength and wit to make it through everything that's coming. Plan to end up on your knees before the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. For it is said of His coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord." He will appear everywhere and anywhere all at one time. It's beyond our imagination what will happen But he'll come not as a baby, not as one who's coming to save us, but one who's coming to lead us, coming to receive us. So the world looks at Advent as a kind of a beginning time. I remember when they first talked about Black Friday. That was the launching of Christmas shopping. And then they started launching it before Thanksgiving. And I do believe they launched it before Halloween this year. I mean, it just keeps backing up. The world looks at it as a shopping season. It truly is a salvation for the businesses that sell us the goods that we celebrate Christmas with, for they do most of their business during this tremendous season. But Advent for the church is a season of shadows, the season of the works of darkness. For you remember that Herod, in seeking Jesus, sought him to destroy him. And when they would not return and tell him where he was, he sent word, said, well, I know he's near Bethlehem. That's where he was born. And so he commanded that all the children under two be taken from the land. This is a season when we look straight down into our own hearts, and we find there, at the very least, the imprisonment of Jesus in a dungeon of wanting somehow to appear more acceptable to the world. And at worst, we find the absence of God. He came that we might proclaim him full-blown, not in some proclamation that divides people or some proclamation that declares one's better than another, but in a full-throated proclamation that says he is God and he is over us all. Advent recognized as a season that begins a church year. Christ the King Sunday finishes us up. If you know how the story ends, you don't have to worry about the beginning or the middle of it. You're able to go right to the heart of it. The King is coming. The King has been born. Advent 1 was in a manger, and Jesus lives in his world. Advent 2 was on a palm-strewn road, and Jesus dies for his world. Advent 3 is the coming from heaven, the splitting of the sky, the things that are beyond our imagination, and Jesus taking his rightful place. The world mocks him. The world says, we know about Bethlehem, we know about Jerusalem, but where is he now? And when did he say he was coming back? It's been a while. We're not only free in America, we have not been given the spirit of fear. To be free and unafraid is to be against almost every evil there is in the world, because the purpose of evil is to make us frightened and afraid. We are those who refuse to be ruled by godless people ever. But we live in a world that our Lord says about kings and rulers, you receive the kings you deserve. Advent is the time we recognize that there is a King of kings. There's one who rules over all the earth. Reverend Fleming Rutledge made this statement. The kingdom of God is tracking for a head-on collision with the powers of darkness. The point of the impact is the place where Christians stand and love one another and reach out in love to the whole world. Advent 1 and 2 were pretty much God's idea. But his final coming will require us to welcome him. We will be the ones along the path. And as we prepare our hearts for Christmas, because Advent doesn't tease us and say, guess what's coming? It's Christmas, the birth of Jesus. There's some thoughts I want to leave with you. The first, years ago when I was in Rome, we visited one of the Pope's gardens inside the Vatican City. The gardeners waited. They were there. They came out. We had reserved a time to go there and have prayer and just to be in a quiet place. And so we went in, and it was beautiful. It had an aqueduct that brought water into a fountain that also watered the plants. It had full-grown trees and a very mature garden there that was a place of solace, a place of meditation. And so when we started to leave, the gardeners were still standing there. They were being so gracious, letting us in. I turned to one of them and I said, I know the Pope must enjoy coming to this garden. And he said, he's never been here. I said, how long has this been a garden? He said, 470 years. 470 years it had been a garden. When do you expect him? And his face beamed. He said, we expect him every day. We expect him today. And then I realized why the garden looked like it did. It wasn't their garden. It certainly wasn't my garden. But the ones who it was, they expected him every day. Every day when they went in and did the trimming and did the maintenance on that garden, they expected to see him coming through the gate. If you take the longest view and say, one day Jesus is coming, you'll stumble and we'll all sit down and rest when we shouldn't be resting. But if you take the word that was read to you this morning from the Bible, watch, be alert. Don't be caught off guard, for he's coming. He's not telling anybody when he's coming, but he's coming. Expect him every day. Christ, who was born into this world, is the King of this world, the Lord of Lords, and he is the one who reigns. In those same catacombs, you find the phrase written many places on the marble facings for the tombs in the catacombs, Veni Domini, and it means Lord, we went. People who have been brought back, who were missionaries, who were Christians, they have been brought back to the place to be buried near the place where Simon Peter helped establish the church upon the rock of the confession, Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God. My dear friend Bill Henson has that as his epitaph. Lord, we went. What are you doing to prepare for his coming? He's going to be born. He's going to come in Jerusalem again. He's going to come in Columbus again. In fact, he lives in the future perfect tense. He always is present. He always is. The trump is being sounded. The wedding feast is being prepared. We are being saved. We are being gathered home. Everything's future perfect tense with him. And he says, I need you. I need you to prepare my way. Prepare it for your children, for your elderly, for your civilization. Are you watching and preparing? The King is coming. That's what the proclamation of Advent first Sunday is. He's always coming. He never retreats or holds his position. It was George Patton who first said about an army, he said, an army is not created to hold its position. It's either moving forward or retreating. If it's retreating, I'm looking for him. He was a hard man in that. But the King is coming. The first Sunday of Advent leaps to the last Sunday of the Christian year. And we see, well, what is this magnificent story that's unfolding through Christ Jesus? Well, it ends with him being proclaimed Christ the King. And every year the story is retold and repeated in the pageantry and tapestry of the church, in the glory of the march forward. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back for you. Advent 1, the phrase is, then Jesus came. The world sat in darkness, and then Jesus came. A light was seen, a great light in the east. It was great news. He was here for 33 years. But it was not as great as the news he personally delivered when he said, I will return, not for 33 years, but for all eternity. And when I come again, all that is broken will be healed. All that has been wasted will be restored. What the locusts have eaten, what the years have taken, I will restore. I will make it whole again. And not for just a little while, for he comes to rule. Advent's here, and we have some preparing to do. But before the new year turns and our mind turns to resolutions, we need to move our covenant with God through Jesus Christ to the front of our minds for another year. We're at the beginning of the Christian year. You can take a cynical approach and say, well, there'll be another beginning of the Christian year, and we can say how many Christian years we've lived. But the truth is, that's not how God asks us to measure time. He says, measure time as though I'm coming today for you. Not with vengeance or hatefulness or anything of that, but with His very nature, that He might love you, love the hurt out of you, love the brokenness away from you, restore what the locusts have eaten. Not someday, today. You see the beauty of this church prepared by loving hands as it has been done for over 150 years. Think about why we do that. It's not just so it'll be pretty, which it certainly is, but it's because He could come today. And we want Him to know we're prepared. We believe Him. God, through Jesus Christ, is the hope and salvation of the world. And we are those who have been called to give that message to those we love and to all whom He loves, which includes the whole world. Today, we look for Him. Look in the eyes of the children. Look in the eyes of the older men and women. See the hope that sometimes in the dust of dailiness and in the midst of living our lives through the middle, we sometimes don't look up enough. I ask God to bless us for His sake, for His purposes, for the King is coming. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come into Your presence, and we only know what You reveal to us. For who can discern or perceive You or find from You what You have hidden? But what You have made known is great good news. Now, Lord, bless this Your people in His holy name. Amen. Would you stand as you're able as we close with our closing hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Yeah.
in the midst of winter, rekindle with us the great hope of thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen.